It's quite an experience to visit museums like the Louvre, the Pergamon in Germany, British Museum, London, or in America, Chicago, Metropolitan, where you can see these huge, they call it lamassus. It's a bull with wings and a human head. You marvel at these monuments. So all these monuments, plus all the clay tablets, which are Bible-related, were covered with Mesopotamian sands for about 3,000 years and well-preserved. No one knew what these messages referred to and the kings of Israel mentioned in the Bible. It was silent for 3,000 years. But God is the guardian of his holy book, the Bible. And at the right time, there's always a right time, God's time. The evidences confirming the authenticity of the Bible were excavated. What a moment for Bible believers to get more confirmation about the book in which they believed. We've been here, Ochirenchus, where the materials were dumped in the sand, the dunes, which was also discovered recently. And you know, when you look at Revelation 13, verse 18, where it speaks about the 666, it's authentic. You know, archaeology cries out, there's a book, the best book ever written, because it was written by God through its prophets. Read it. Qumran. And there's a special lecture just on the excavations at Qumran. Book of Daniel. Fragments 3 centuries before Christ. Let us look at modern attempts to destroy evidences of the Bible stories in ancient sites in Syria and Iraq. When I first came to Mosul, that's the modern city next to ancient Nineveh, I visited Nabi Yunus, a huge shrine dedicated to the prophet Jonah. Came closer, I took this picture, beautiful artwork. Look at this. No one would like to destroy this. I walked up these steps. And I entered the place. Now, just behind the shrine of Jonah, a tremendous excavation was made here of the palace of Esarhaddon II. And we'll come to him in future. I don't know how much damage was caused here. Let's go back to the shrine. I walked in here. Looked at the art, it's beautiful, it's precious. Is the Bible story of Jonah authentic? Many people say, no, it's not authentic. Or is the story of Jonah just a legend? We're still inside the shrine of Jonah. What did Jesus, the greatest authority, says on the issue of Jonah? It says in Matthew 12, verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus acknowledged the story of Jonah. 12, verse 41, it says, the men of Nineveh, and we're going to visit Nineveh, we've just been there, will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus says Jonah is a type, a prophet, of him, Jesus Christ, the great prophet. So what happens to the antitype when you destroy the type? There's no Jesus. Because Jesus says, he is type Jonah, and I'm antitype Jonah. This is Ha-Hefer, Kath-Hefer. But Jonah lived, and it's just next to Nazareth, where Christ lived. So he and Jesus lived in the same geographical area, and both were very popular prophets. And then I found a fragment of the book of Jonah amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls. So the people before Christ believed that this was an historical figure. And here you can see with your own eyes, before Christ, the book was used. Jonah, the prophet. God called him from here to warn Nineveh of its imminent destruction. Now, when you read the Bible, you must look out for type. You must look out for eschatology. So what happened to Nineveh will be repeated on a greater scale at the end of time. Because if the last great civilization of this world follows the example of what happened to Nineveh, it will be destroyed. This is very serious. In Nazareth, you can visit a fountain, and this is where Christ as a young boy came to fetch water for the household. And this is where Jesus, antitypical Jonah, grew up. Same place. He was the most obedient son who ever lived on earth. And if you're a young person, or even an older person, and your parents are still alive, honor your father and your mother. This is what Jesus did. Assyrian fish motif. I was surprised when I saw this at Nineveh, because you can relate it to the fish who swallowed Jonah, a fish prepared specially by God. More archaeology in a future lecture. Look at this. Destroy the symbol of Jonah in order to destroy the story of Jonah. You know, this is tragic. And look at how this man just destroys the tomb of Jonah. I see vengeance here because it's related to the Bible. If Jonah is a myth, by the way, why bother to destroy his remembrance? Look at this. These huge lamassu is being destroyed by a jackhammer. Precious material with fantastic, interesting writing on it. Cuneiform. Away with a thing which has biblical connotation. Away with it. What discovery was made next to Jonah's shrine? As I mentioned previously, I was here. And we're going to do a lecture on the king who lived here, Esarhaddon. I discovered some of his footprints in Lebanon as well. Does the Bible and archaeology mention his father's name? Yes, Sennacherib. And we're going to see what is the relationship between father and son. It's got to do with the Bible. This makes it so precious. Anything related in archaeology to the Bible is so precious to me, because this is the most precious book. We will revisit the site, the specific one, to hear about something unbelievable that Saddam Hussein did right here in 1990. You know, he had some good points through his intervention. One of the greatest archaeological discoveries was made. And I say thank you, Saddam. If you're still alive, if you're not alive, thank you anyway. The Christian Assyrian cathedral was set alight in Mosul next to Nineveh. Mosul and Nineveh's Leaning Tower was saved, fortunately. Look at this tower. Some of the gates I visited, the Shamash Gate, the recent targets on these gates. This is the Adat Gate. They've started to restore Nineveh, but then they stopped. Sennacherib's Palace to your right. This is the Nergal Gate, and we'll be visiting there as well. What Nineveh must have looked like in Jonah's time, it was the metropolis of the world. Beautiful. This is just an imagination of an artist. At the bottom you see the word Nebi-Yunus. That's where the shrine of Jonah was destroyed. And just a little further up, you see the word Kuyun-Yik. That's where some of the other palaces were situated. And this gives you an idea. There are 15 gates in the ruins that they've discovered. What happened to the restored gate when Jonah entered the city? The greatest evangelistic success in history. 120,000 people got converted. But look at this. At the Nergal Gate where Jonah went through, they are destroying, Esau, these great monuments. Destroy the memory of Nineveh and the prophet Jonah, if you can. Because you cannot. Look at this. How sad. Besides a biblical related value, this is precious. The hammer may damage symbols, but never the truth they represent. This is what Jonah saw when he came here in 7050 BC. He looked at these monuments. He was impressed. Come with me to a very important archaeological site in Iraq. It's called Nimrud. The biblical name is Kala. This is an aerial photograph of the citadel mount at Nimrud, taken in the 1950s, when it was safe to visit there. The pyramid-shaped mound in the foreground is the remains of the work of Shalmaneser III. Here's a close-up. I walked here. I saw it, I smelled it, I touched it. It's biblical related. Let's enter inside. We'll only be able to do a fraction of what is here. This is a picture I took of a Lamassu in the palace of Ashurnasirpal II. Do you think it's possible for people to destroy these historical and biblical treasures? Yes, but never the story which is locked up in the Bible. Important kings who made Nimrud their capital includes the following. Look at this old man standing next to a statue of Ashurnasirpal. I came across some of his huge statues in Aleppo, in Syria. He moved his capital, Ashurnasirpal, from Ashur, but further down to Nimrud. This was a great move he made. Not always difficult to move. Maybe you've experienced it. The way he entertained sheds light on how Belshazzar of the Bible at Babylon entertained. This will be our next lecture. Look at the cruelty. Can you see it here? Flaying people. The Bible mentions the cruelty of Assyria. This king, Ashurnasirpal, confirms it in his art. Many of the captives, he writes, I have taken and burned in a fire. Can you believe it? Many I took alive, from some I cut off their hands to the risks. From others I cut off their noses. Can you believe this? Ears and their fingers, and put out the eyes of many of the soldiers. Cruelty. You can appreciate Jonah's hesitancy to go and evangelize this cruel people. And then he writes, said, I burned their young men. Burned their young men, women and children to death. About a conquest in another vanquished city, he wrote, I flayed, cut off their skins, the nobles, as many as rebelled. So there was no room for somebody to rebel. You die. And spread their skins out on the piles. Can't you believe it? We will be looking at the archaeological evidences in a later lecture. This is just to tell you what's coming. Would anyone think to destroy this precious site of Nimrud, biblical Kala, with its wealth of history? The next ruler at Nimrud is called Shalmaneser III. This is a tremendous story, this king. And there's only one statue I found of him. This was in Istanbul. If ever there was a king who inspired my confidence and respect for the Bible, it was him, as we will see in our next lecture. He was the first Assyrian king who had personal contact with the 10 tribes of Israel on this exact same battlefield that you are looking at. To me, this is precious. This makes Nimrud a very special place to confirm the authenticity of the Bible. Do you think the enemy would attack a place like this and destroy its history by explosives? Listen to his account of the Battle of Karkar in Syria. I've been there. He says, I slew 14,000 of the warriors with a sword. Like Adad, I retained destruction on them. That was one of the gods. I scattered their corpses far and wide and covered the face of this desolate plain with their wide-spreading armies. I was shocked when I read what happened in the valley just behind me in this picture. With my weapons, he says, I made their blood to flow down the valleys of the land. You're looking at the site where it happened. The plain was too small for their bodies to fall. The wide countryside was used to bury them. Can you see it happening right here? Visiting the Orontes River, I thought of what happened here in 853 BC. Very important date in archaeology. With their corpses, I spanned the Arantu, that's what they call the Orontes, as with a bridge, putting corpses in the river to make himself a bridge. Can you believe it? By the way, Ahab, King Ahab, saw all this. He was in this battle. Ahab who fought here reminds me of his wife and a prophet. Contemporaries, who was his wife? Jezebel. Who was the prophet? Elijah. So the discovery made here sheds light on tremendous important biblical figures. Typology. When you come to the book of Revelation, you read again about Jezebel. When you read the Gospels, you read about the second Elijah. So these are types of end-time Ahabs, Jezebels, Elijah's, this is important places, and it was destroyed. Here you see a king bowing down to Shalmaneser III. This was in 841 when Jehu became king and when Shalmaneser re-entered the Levant and got tribute from the 10 tribes. Jehu the king. You're going to discover who is paying the tribute to Shalmaneser III. More about Jehu in a coming lecture. What should be done to Nimrod and references to Bible figures? If you're the enemy, what will you do? This is what they did. They just blew up everything. I'm so glad I was here before the time, before this happened. I've got the material. The name of the next king who ruled in Nimrod. This is a very important figure. His name, Adad-nirari III. Any evidence that he converted at the preaching of Jonah? Can I tell you how excited I was when I made these discoveries? The evidence was discovered at the Nabu Temple, of course, which is now destroyed. One of the two statues at the entrance to the temple where this king wrote that he is forsaking polytheism and becoming a monotheist. My friend, this is very important information. What did Esau do? What did they put into these drums you're looking at? This was too much for them to handle. One of their kings converting to the faith of Jonah, to Yahweh. And they don't love the Yahweh of the Bible. So there you see the drums. What did they do? By doing this, they say, we reject the Bible story of conversion from polytheism to monotheism. And the place is gone. Esau, God's power to convert cruel Assyrian kings is a billion times more potent than your bombs. And to Esau, I would say, God loves you in spite of what you're doing, and he wants you to convert. He speaks to every single person on this planet. Esau, I'm addressing you again. What about the most powerful Assyrian king who ruled the world from Nimrod? They say we dislike Tiglath-Pileser III because he mentions names of Israelite kings. So we're going to blow up Nimrod. Esau, what about preserving this world heritage for posterity? It's great art, workmanship, superb. Please, Esau. Well, the remains of Nimrod is gone. Boom, there you can see another picture. But the Bible story of Tiglath-Pileser III lives on in the Bible. What about the name of the last Assyrian king who ruled from Nimrod and who destroyed Samaria? What about him, Esau? This is Samaria. Ruins of Samaria. And this is where Shalmaneser V died in 722 BC. That same year, the northern kingdom of Israel also died its final death. And they were gone. We're going to study this. What is the ongoing destruction of biblical sites by Esau tell us? Tell us that there's a war against the Bible. A war which they will never win. And my friend, are you worrying about the authenticity of the Bible? You're going to lose the battle because you cannot destroy God's love for you. The Bible will be available till the end of time to give people the opportunity to discover the God of love, the God of forgiveness. What are the benefits of Bible study? And if only this lecture could take you to your Bible and start reading there. It's a marvelous book. It's inspired. As the mine has rich veins of gold and silver hidden beneath the surface, so that all must dig who would discover its precious stores, so the Holy Scriptures have treasures of truth that are revealed only to the earnest, humble, and prayerful seeker. There's a wealth of treasures awaiting you if you come to the Bible with an earnest, humble, and a prayerful attitude. It's such a wonderful book. It changes people from bad to good, skeptics to believers. Archaeology says this book is authentic. God designed the Bible to be a lesson book to all mankind in childhood, youth, and manhood, and to be studied through all time. It is such a precious book that it will be studied through all time. If you haven't started reading it, you're missing something. Please take it, read it. And if you are a reader, read it more prayerfully. Read it with your imagination. He gave his word to men as a revelation of himself. God wants to reveal himself to you when you read the Bible. What a thought. The God of the universe revealing himself to small people like you and me. Every new truth discerned is a fresh disclosure of the character of its author. Someone does not like God. Someone wants to destroy all the evidences concerning him. The study of the Scriptures is the means divinely ordained to bring men into closer connection with their Creator. Closer connection with their Creator. And to give them a clearer knowledge of his will. He's got a plan for your life. Study it in the Bible. It is the medium of communication between God and man. Do you want to have communion with God? Read his precious book, his love letter to you. I challenge you to spend only 5 prayerful minutes a day reading this book. 5 minutes, and see what happens to you. Father in heaven, thank you for this document telling us that you love us. Help us to take time to discover the greatest experience of all, the creature contacting the Creator. Thank you for this book. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.